Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Thursday, January the 30th, 2014, and here are our top stories.
Tonight, Police Chief Shane Harger talks to InfoWars after he's harassed by the feds and placed on leave. This after signing a pledge to uphold the Constitution. Yet another disturbing indication that the federal government, in addition to law enforcement authorities, view Americans who support the Bill of Rights as domestic terrorists. Then, Super Bowl fans prepare to surrender their civil rights and submit blindly to authority as TSA Viper squads invade New Jersey. Jakari Jackson reports live from MetLife Stadium. All that plus more up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Well, our top story tonight is from Paul Joseph Watson. It's a police chief who's been harassed by feds and placed on leave after signing a pledge to uphold the Constitution. Now, this is all being driven by the TSA. This is where it all originated from. We have an interview with this police chief Shane Harger, as well as with Sheriff Richard Mack. That is going to be at the end of the program. It is a vitally important issue. This is a case of those who openly disobey the Constitution, who are not even officers of the law. They're not sworn officers of the law. And they're coming after those who are, and who have sworn to uphold the Constitution and take that oath seriously. So stay tuned at the end of the program. We're going to have an interview with the sheriff, Mac, as well as with the police chief, who has just been dismissed and put on administrative leave. Tonight there will be a meeting, although we don't know the results as of the time of the news as to whether or not he will be fired, but his entire police department has been disbanded at this moment. Now, if you want to know why this is really important, you'd have to look no further than Fullerton, California, because we see there some more aftermath of the death of Kelly Thomas. That's the homeless man who was beaten to death by a gang of cops over an extended period of time. It was captured by video camera. And in this article, we see that cops are laughing about having a license to kill. This is a Fullerton resident who was arrested after protesting the acquittal of officers who were involved in the death of Kelly Thomas. One of the cops leaned over the protesters and with, quote, malice in his voice said, "There's a pack of 12 cops waiting to smash your effing faces in." Now, this is consistent with what we were told and we saw in the video of what the cops did to Kelly Thomas when they killed him. They threatened him. He said, "Do you see my fist?" This is the cop speaking to the homeless man who was on the ground. "They're getting ready to F you up." Now, just remember, Kelly Thomas, as the article points out, was a mentally disabled homeless man. He was beaten, tasered, suffocated, and pistol whipped as he lay on the street corner being sat on by no less than six police officers. This went on for 25 minutes, and he can be heard as he's dying, pleading for his daddy, saying, "Daddy, daddy, they're killing me." This is where it's headed if we don't stand with the constitutional sheriffs and peace officers. We need to roll this back. These lawless law enforcement officers, quote unquote, they're disobeying the Constitution, they're disobeying the law, and they're becoming a dangerous gang of thugs. And in many cases, like this case here in Fort Worth, we see that we have police officers who are not trained and, of course, are not held accountable for what they do, even though they're not trained. We have no charges filed against a cop who shot a 72-year-old on his own driveway. Now, yesterday, a grand jury in Fort Worth declined to charge a Texas police officer who killed a 72-year-old man on his own driveway after arriving at the wrong address to investigate a burglary alarm. Now, take a look at this picture we have. You can clearly see that there's 409 where he was called, or 404, the two addresses that are in question. They're on opposite sides of the street, of course, because even-numbered ones are on one side of the street and odd-numbered ones are on the other side of the street, as in all cities, as all police officers should know. But even more so, this was stenciled on the curb of both houses, as well as on the mailboxes. And the police have put this out as if the man came at the police officer with a pistol. But his family is saying that he was shot in his own garage. They say that there was a campaign of misinformation. And interestingly enough, one of the neighbors is a former Fort Worth council member. That's Becky Haskin. And she said that the police officer was a victim of his own inexperience. She said he just unloaded his gun in rapid fire. That's what I heard. It woke me up. I thought it was in my backyard, just rapid fire, one round after the other in quick succession. Seven rounds he emptied into this 72-year-old man, not giving any warning, not backing off, not assessing the situation, not even understanding what address he was at. Now, that may not be something that's worthy of murder, but it is certainly manslaughter, and it is certainly something that he should not be on the police force. It remains to be seen whether he's going to be taken off. He will probably, given past experience, will be kept on the police force. And we see that in Connecticut, gun owners are actually revolting and refusing to register their guns and their ammunition clips, a new law that went in at the beginning of the year. Gun owners in Connecticut have revolted against this, with only 38,000 out of 2.5 million high-capacity magazines being registered with authorities. Now, this figure of 2.5 million, 2.4 million, comes from a 2011 Office of Legislative Research study that found, quote, there are over 2.4 million large-capacity magazines in Connecticut that originated at the retail level. Now, of course, that doesn't even include those that were not purchased at retail level. And the danger of this is that we all know that registration precludes confiscation. And just as we saw with the previous story, when the police come to your home to look into the fact that you have guns, they may very well be afraid of the fact that you might shoot them. And we've seen over and over again that the police are given carte blanche to kill anybody that they feel concerned about, if they're scared in any way whatsoever, or feel like they're threatened in any way whatsoever, and many of them feel threatened just knowing that you have a gun. This is a very serious issue. This is something that the feel-good liberals have thrust on people, but we understand what's behind this. We know that it is a prelude to confiscation, and it creates a very dangerous flashpoint situation between citizens and an out-of-control police departments. Now, all of this, what we hear from this police officer we're going to be talking to at the end of the program, all of this is not a game. It's not a political game. It's not a Simon Says game. When Obama talks about being a dictator, when he talks about using the executive order, we need to take that very seriously. And unfortunately, there's only a handful of congressmen, people in the legislative branch, congressmen and senators who do take this seriously. One of them is Mike Lee, and he confronted Eric Holder today and asked him about what authority he had for these executive orders. And Holder said he couldn't explain the constitutional basis for the executive orders because he hasn't read the legal analysis, or at least hasn't seen it in a long time. Now, look at this article before we go to the sound clip. Lee had based his questions on a standard legal test, and this is something that came from a Supreme Court decision where Judge Robert Jackson said the president's authority to issue executive orders is strongest, and he lays out 3 points. He said, number one, when he's acting with the backing of Congress. In other words, when he's following a law that Congress has put out. It's more dubious, he says, if he issues an order pertaining to a topic on which Congress has not passed a law, and it's weakest when the executive order is, quote, incompatible with a congressional command. And, of course, we're seeing that over and over again. That's precisely the point that Obama says he wants to make these executive orders, because he doesn't want to listen to Congress or wait on Congress or wait for the laws to be passed as they are prescribed to be passed in the Constitution. Here's that clip.
So in which of those three categories would you put the president's decision to delay the enforcement of the employer mandate? Is that category one, two, or three?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I haven't seen the analysis in some time, so I'm not sure where along the spectrum that would come.
How about the executive order that he proposed last night with regard to minimum wage? Would that be category one, category two, or category three?
Well, again, without having delved into this to any great degree, that was.
But you're the attorney general. I assume he consulted you.
Well,
it's imperative within our constitutional system that we not allow too much authority to be accumulated in one person. And it's one of the reasons why we have a constitution, is to protect us against the excessive accumulation of power.
Well, as he pointed out, you're the attorney general, but of course we all know that Eric Holder is an attorney general who, if he enforces a law at all, he enforces it very, very selectively. He could care less what the law is, and neither could Obama. Now, our task here at InfoWars is not only to inform you about what's going on, but to educate you, as the media and the government are trying to misinform you and to keep you in ignorance. Take a look at this report on the price of gold from Calgary Television.
Some investors aren't confident that with what gold is backed by, or if it's backed by anything at all, as compared to something like the U.S. dollar. Investors are comfortable that the U.S. dollar is backed by the American government. So no matter what is happening to the American economy, something like the U.S. dollar is backed by the Federal Reserve. That's going to be around a year from now. That's a much more comfortable investment for them.
Because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. Or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future.
Whatever. I mean, it's great that we've got some comic relief with all of the serious news tonight, but it is really disturbing to see somebody that is part of the mainstream media in Canada that is so uninformed about gold and the nature of fiat currencies. She says that investors are not comfortable with what gold is backed by. That is the level of Miss South Carolina in that team contest. If it's backed by anything at all, but of course we can all trust the U.S. dollar because it's backed by the U.S. government, and that would be the such as Federal Reserve, which is not part of the U.S. government. What do we say? You know what, if you're watching our broadcast, you know what we're talking about. Now, finally, just before we go to the break, we've got one more story. The EU has secret plans for the police to remotely stop cars. Now, this is something that is very dangerous. This is part of the ongoing, what I would call the war on drivers. This is confidential documents from a committee of senior EU police officers who hold their meetings in secret, and they have laid out a plan entitled Remote Stopping Vehicles as part of law enforcement surveillance and tracking measures. This is a technological solution that they're calling for to be put in all new cars by the end of the decade. And this document was released by an organization called Statewatch, a watchdog monitoring police powers, state surveillance, and civil liberties in the EU. They've leaked the document because they're concerned that the technology poses a serious threat to civil liberties. Boy, does it ever. It poses a serious threat to us all. As I said, it's like a war on drivers. We've got the black box, which is going to be used to tax us by the mile. It's going to be used to automatically give us tickets. We see as they're rolling in these self-driving cars that they're also going to be raising insurance rates for people who want to drive themselves. We can see all of this happening. Alex Jones has been talking about how the government is going to remotely be able to stop your car anytime they wish. They've got currency controls. They've got border controls. They're going to control your travel everywhere. That's what the TSA is about, and it's why we have to rein in this lawless agency that is flaunting their police powers in our face and in the face of our constitutional police, and that's who we're going to be talking to at the end of the program. But I'm going to end this with one quote from a conservative MP. He said, "The price we pay for surrendering our democratic sovereignty is that we are governed by an unaccountable secret clique." And that's exactly what we're seeing. We've got secret courts in the U.S. with FISA. We don't even know what they're deciding. We're not allowed to see their decisions, but they maintain that their secret court decisions are not only valid, but that they go to the extent of modifying our Constitution. Nothing could be farther from the truth. We'll be right back. We've got more reports, and we've got an interview with Police Chief Harger, as well as a report from Jakari Jackson at the Super Bowl, telling us about how they're rolling out the police state there.
Symbols are powerful, and the globalists have hijacked the symbols of America. They've turned them into their own symbols. Well, we are restoring the idea of the true republic, not the counterfeit globalist empire, by promoting the icon George Washington and others. That's why we're rolling out an 100% made in America line of incredible pro-liberty apparel. We are repopularizing liberty. We are helping fellow Americans rediscover what made this country great. We are the spirit of 1776. We are 1776 worldwide. We are all brothers and sisters in arms in the animating contest of liberty in the long march towards humanity's ultimate destiny of freedom. Visit madein1776.com today and vote with your dollars to promote truly made in America, high quality products, and promote the ideals of liberty. Alex Jones here to tell you about how you can help spread liberty worldwide while also enjoying what I have found to be the best tasting 100% organic coffee on the planet. For more than a decade, my favorite coffee has come from the high mountains of southern Mexico, where the Chiapas farmers grow their unique shade-grown Arabica beans. We have now managed to secure these sought-after beans in a highly customized blend. Discover and try a bag of the Patriot Blend 100% organic coffee at InfoWarsLife.com. This coffee gives you a long, smooth pick-me-up for hours without the headaches and heartburn that so many other coffees give me personally. Hands down, this is my favorite coffee, and it's taken us years to secure connections directly to the Chiapas Mexican farmers. Drop by the site today, order a bag or two, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Available in original or with our immune support infusion blend, you will be supporting a free press, all the while enjoying a truly great-tasting cup of my favorite coffee. Available at InfoWarsLife.com.
A new online game teaches kids about vaccination.
This vaccination is a teeny tiny bit of the flu virus. It'll teach your body how to fight the flu virus. Let's fight the flu virus!
What the PBS-produced plot fails to teach kids is that getting the flu vaccine might actually increase their risk of getting other more dangerous forms of the flu. Research confirmed that the seasonal flu vaccine may actually weaken children's immune systems and increase their chances of getting sick from influenza viruses not included in the vaccine. It's a condition they call original antigenic sin. It basically means if you get infected with a natural virus, that gives you not only protection against that virus, but similar viruses or even quite different flu viruses in the next year. According to a professor from the Australian National University, we may be perversely setting ourselves up that if something really new and nasty comes along, the people who have been vaccinated may in fact be more susceptible compared to getting this natural infection. Now that Obamacare is being peddled to Hollywood writers, we can expect to see even more healthcare-related propaganda in children's shows. Children may be taught the importance of having health insurance and, of course, convincing their parents how important it is to sign up for the Affordable Care Act as well. One program to keep an eye on is Disney's federally funded cartoon, Doc McStuffins. Do what the doctor says. The show was created under the consultancy of the Hollywood Health and Society, which is a federally funded organization through which public health and medical experts offer expert consultation, education, and resources for writers and producers who develop scripts with health storylines and information. This is the same group who will gather with members of the Hollywood elite for a panel titled The Affordable Care Act, Comedy, Drama, and Reality, Portraying Obamacare in TV and Film. Given that Obama has declared he will assert his unilateral agenda, it's clear that Hollywood is filled with eager servants ready to do the bidding of their dear leader.
My friends, Alex Jones here to tell you about some of the most important information concerning you and your family's health. Radiation levels have more than doubled in the last 60 years in the Northern Hemisphere. From all of the nuclear testing and radiological accidents, radioactive contamination is now in most of the food supply. There's only two ways to avoid this. Move south of the equator or properly protect your thyroid with Nascent Iodine. Looking to protect my family, I've done deep research. Nascent Iodine is the purest, cleanest, absolute best form of iodine to protect yourself and your family. It's made right here in the USA, completely non-GMO. I searched out the best quality and now have developed a double-strength form of Nascent Iodine, exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Nascent Iodine is on record as one of the only safe ways to detox from fluoride poisoning. Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Secure your super high-quality Nascent Iodine today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. And the InfoWars Army is standing strong. Wake up your family, friends, and neighbors and break the matrix at InfoWarsStore.com. Learn the truth and spread the message of liberty with the world's most comprehensive collection of books and documentary films. Maintain a healthy metabolism and energize your body to perform at peak health with Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Protect your family and be prepared with survival foods and emergency preparedness kits. And now you can drink safe water with your own ProPure water filtration system, which removes fluoride and other harmful chemicals from your family's water supply. Save 10% with the promo code WATER. So join the revolution. InfoWarsStore.com. Well, the Super Bowl continues its role as the poster child for the police state. The Department of Homeland Security has declared the event a level one national security threat, which that means the feds will be in control of all security operations in New Jersey and parts of surrounding New York. This also means that football fans can expect random bag searches and scattered checkpoints throughout New York and New Jersey transit hubs. So if you're traveling by subway, for example, be prepared to be stopped and frisked. Yo papers, sir. There will be low-flying helicopters. There's going to be a heavy police state presence. Police are going to be everywhere. I wouldn't be surprised. Unmanned drones. We know there's going to be random checkpoints. Once again, the Super Bowl provides the perfect cover for curtailing our civil liberties. And you can bet the TSA is going to be there as well. They have announced that they will be conducting security not only at the entrance of MetLife Stadium, but they're also going to be, well, all over the place. They're going to be conducting searches on commercial vehicles, mass transit venues, all throughout New York and New Jersey. And joining us now from MetLife Stadium in New Jersey is InfoWars reporter Jakari Jackson. And, you know, Jakari, it sounds to me like this is the perfect opportunity for the establishment to flex their police state muscle, if you will. What do you guys expect to run into this weekend?
Well, like you said, we're out here in East Rutherford, New Jersey, right outside the Super Bowl stadium, the MetLife Stadium. And what we expect to see some Viper teams. So Don Salazar posted an article yesterday on Infowars.com documenting how the Viper teams want to come out here to your big sporting events, not just here, but also at other large events as well. So we expect to see that. We're going to go to Times Square. It's supposed to be a lot of new cameras placed up there temporarily, of course, for your safety. I don't think it's going to be temporary at all.
Well, and I want to talk a little bit more about the Viper teams because let's get this straight. They are not going to simply be there right at the gates at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. No, they are going to be, from what I understand, they could even be as far as surrounding New York area, and they could pull over commercial vehicles. They could stop you at bus stations, train stations, subways. These guys are going to be everywhere.
You make a very good point. And with the Viper teams, I want to point out this is the TSA. Because you remember, Darren, we've been telling people for years that the TSA is going to leave your airports and go to the streets.
And they said we're a crazy conspiracy theory.
Yeah, that's a conspiracy theory. That's never going to happen. That's just some conservatives down in Texas making this stuff up. But it's very much real. And now it's come to fruition. And it's not just here. It's not anything brand new, Darren. These things have been out there. And I know you know this, but to our viewers who this is new information to, the Viper teams have already left the TSA. They've been out going around to the streets and the big sporting events for a while. And not only the Viper teams, but they had the TSA-style checks at the Super Bowl and also sporting events as well. We've seen that Major League Baseball is going to have more security measures coming by, I think it's the end of 2015. So it's going everywhere. And even when you come out here to the Super Bowl, you can get a pat down. You can't bring in your own personal baggage. The only thing you can bring is a little dinky Ziploc bag because your bag needs to be clear so everybody can see what you have. So if you're a lady and you have some personal effects in that bag, everybody's going to see everything that you have in your bag. And Alex made a very good point on the Alex Jones radio show today. He was talking about how they want you to wear clear raincoats, Bloomberg said, here when you come to the city of New York or New Jersey. And they want you to wear clear raincoats. So why don't we just go all the way and just wear clear clothing all year round? Because that would make everybody safe, Darren.
Well, unless you're the part of the Muslim Brotherhood, then you get a free pass. Yes. So we've reported on that as well. So tell us more about that. The Muslim Brotherhood, they got a VIP treatment, if you will, from the TSA recently or from the Department of Homeland Security. They've been allowed to travel freely. Your comments on that?
Yeah, Darren, we've seen the Muslim Brotherhood, a known terrorist organization. I want to be very clear to our viewers that when we speak about the Muslim Brotherhood, we're not talking about Muslims in general. We're talking about a known Al-Qaeda-linked organization that the Egyptian government has deemed to be a terrorist organization. So the Muslim Brotherhood can come here to the States and walk right past, be waved through TSA security. We had to be checked out when we came from Austin out here to our airport here in New Jersey. We had to be checked out by the TSA. I myself got a pat down. We seen another lady who got a pat down as well. We have to go through this, Darren, but people who are known terrorists, and I'm not talking about a terrorist like a little kid who happens to have a similar name to a known terrorist. No, I'm talking about real, actual, documented terrorists can walk straight through the TSA with no trouble.
Well, it's out of control, and people have to be prepared to basically surrender their civil rights and submit blindly to authority, if you will. That's what it means to become a football fan now. And
that's what it means to become an American in general, Darren, because
this is indoctrination.
We've seen they want to have checkpoints in malls, at movie theaters, all this stuff, you know, and Obama comes out, he says, well, we need to keep our people safe, you know, like he did in the State of the Union address. He said, I want to save people in our schools and our churches and our this and our that. But, you know, these TSA-style checkpoints aren't saving anybody because the TSA has not caught a single terrorist to date. And if they did, they'd be out parading, telling everybody that they actually accomplished something. So I know they haven't done it.
Well, you got that right. And I tell you what, if somebody were to buy me Super Bowl tickets 10 years ago, I would have been ecstatic. I would have been extremely happy. And now I just can't imagine what it must be. You guys are going to go through hell just to get in the place.
Just to get in the place, because I was talking to Josh and I was thinking, you know, is it worse that we're going to be sitting outside in the cold during the Super Bowl, or is it going to be worse that we have cold hands touching our junk just to get into the freaking building? It's ridiculous, Darren.
Then
you have to go and watch these demonic halftime shows. We've seen the things in the past Super Bowls. We see the things at the Grammys. What is our country coming to? Why do people put up with this stuff?
Yeah, that's the direction I was heading. A few years ago, we had the blatant performance by Madonna, which was an obvious Illuminati type of ceremony, satanic ritual, if you will. Then a couple years later, we have Beyonce. And it's not just the Super Bowl. It's the Olympics. It was a few days ago at the Grammys.
Yes.
You guys are going to have a pretty good vantage point. You're going to see the satanic ritual in a couple days?
Well, we'll see how it goes. It's supposed to be the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Bruno Mars. I'm not sure how their stage performances go, but we'll be here. We'll definitely be on the scene. We'll get the best footage we can, get close to the action as we can, and definitely report that back to our viewers.
Hey, another thing, the days leading up to the Super Bowl, what's on the agenda? I'm sure you plan on talking to football fans and the like. What are you going to be doing the next couple of days?
Yeah, we definitely want to talk to the football fans here. We were a little disheartened to realize that you can't tailgate at the Super Bowl anymore. I said to Alex in the Alex Jones radio show, we pulled up and we asked the guy, one security, I said, hey, man, where's the tailgate at? Because there's nobody out here, just a small number of workers. I said, where's the tailgate at? And he looks at me so crazy. He says, sir, nobody tailgates at the Super Bowl anymore. You know, like this was common knowledge. That's like people can't tailgate at the Super Bowl. You can have your big Pepsi pyramid back here. You can have your Viper teams running around. You can have your police state measures running around. But if you want to sit out here and grill some hot dogs with your kids and, you know, maybe crack a beer or two, that's not allowed here at the Super Bowl. So we will talk to the fans, Darren, but we'll have to go to other places. We'll hit up Times Square. We'll go to some different locales. We'll try to find those new security cameras that are supposed to be temporary in Manhattan. We also want to talk to people not just about the police state measures, but also things such as human trafficking. Human trafficking is a huge deal at the Super Bowl, as reported on back when the Super Bowl was in Miami a few years ago. And not just that, but other sporting events as well.
All right, good job, guys. Looking forward to seeing those reports. That's going to do it for tonight's broadcast. The InfoWars Nightly News will return, Lord willing, tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time. Till then, have a blessed evening. We'll see you back right here tomorrow.
Tune in to PrisonPlanet.tv for an extended broadcast.
Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at InfoWars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
More than 60 movies and documentaries all in one place at InfoWars.com/show.
Well, as more evidence surfaces of the TSA acting as a lawless gang that is power tripping, now they're extending it to law enforcement officers, real law enforcement officers, because, you know, of course, the TSA are not law enforcement officers. We have a police chief who is going to the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association meeting, and he was singled out at the Albuquerque, New Mexico airport. We're going to let him tell you his story and what happened to him. Police Chief Harger, I really appreciate you taking a stand for the Constitution. I'm so sorry to see that this has happened. It is absolutely amazing for us from this perspective, but could you lay out exactly what happened in the sequence of events when you went to the Albuquerque airport on your way to the CSPOA convention?
Absolutely. So myself and retired Sheriff Rene Rivetta, who was at that time serving as the deputy chief for my agency, we were en route to attend this conference in Las Vegas, and due to former investigations that I've been involved in, very high-profile case, my name was changed legally through the courts, and it was sealed under record. And so I have two different names. I haven't flown in years by choice because of the conduct of TSA. Mm-hmm. But for this particular event, I really had no choice. And so I told Sheriff Rivetta, let's go talk to a TSA supervisor, explain, you know, our circumstances, because my biggest concern was regarding my driver's license. The expiration date had just expired. So we go upstairs and we speak to a supervisor. She was very cordial. We explained to her our circumstances, and she said, not a problem. It's within 1 year of expiration, so you can fly. There's no issue. I said, you know, thank you so much. We go downstairs. We go to the ticket counter, present identification again. We're you know, provided with our tickets and our boarding passes. We book in our luggage, and then here comes a young officer from the Albuquerque Aviation Police, and he's being quite stern in his demeanor and so forth. He says, I need to speak with you guys. Okay. So myself and Sheriff Rivetta goes off to the side with this individual and another officer, and we speak with him. He demands to see identification. We provide him with identification, and he starts questioning us. I said, you know, what's going on? And he says, well, you were named as a suspicious person. I said, really? I said, you know, what is so suspicious about me? He said, did you go upstairs? And I said, yeah, I did. I spoke with the TSA person up there. But what were you discussing with them? I said, I had a question about my flight itinerary and any problems that may arise from an expiration date and so forth. I don't recall the exact verbiage I used, but that was the gist of the conversation. And so ultimately, I finally said, you know, am I being charged with something? Am I free to go? He gave us our information back, and we were sent on our way. And we go upstairs through the TSA screening. Sheriff Rivetta was allowed right through. When I approached, the lady asked me where I was going. And I tell her that I was going to Las Vegas. And she then asked what was my business there. And I made the statement that that's private, and I kept walking. So then I get up to the scanner. I put all my stuff through the scanner. I went through the metal detector, and I was forced to go through it three times. I didn't have any metal on me, you know, that I was aware of, but it kept going off. Nonetheless, I get through the thing, get all my stuff back, and I start walking towards the turnstile, and I'm approached by a man in a dark suit who flaps open a wallet and shuts it and puts it back in his pocket. I don't know who he was with. He didn't ever showed me a card or nothing like that. I don't have anything from him. He was not wearing a uniform, but he claimed to be a federal investigator. Those were his words. And so he demands to see identification, and I tell him, you know, we've already been through this. I've already presented my identification at least three times to various officials. What's going on? And he told me that I was a person of interest, that I was listed as being suspicious. So I comply. I give him my credentials, and he really just sort of belabored the point, and I finally just asserted my First Amendment rights, my Fourth Amendment rights, and it really upset him. You could see it in his demeanor. Ultimately, I gave him a scenario. I said, you know, sir, the way you're treating me, I said, how would you like it if I were to treat you that way? And I said, just for example, you come through my jurisdiction. I don't have probable cause. I don't have reasonable suspicion. There's nothing suspicious about you, but I just pull you over and say, I stopped you because you're suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
And you asked me, well, what's suspicious about me? And I went through this whole scenario, and I said, you wouldn't appreciate that very much, would you? And he said, I'm paid to be suspicious. I said, really? You're paid to be suspicious of law enforcement officers? I said, I will remember that the next time I pull over a TSA agent, that they are paid to be suspicious of me, a cop. Well, in other words, I was pointing out the idiosyncrasy of what he was saying.
They're paid to treat everyone as if we are guilty. They're trained to treat us all as terrorists, even though, as we just reported, they allowed the Muslim Brotherhood to get a VIP pass when they came here. So you're Al-Qaeda. You're suspicious just because you're an American. But go ahead. Tell us what happened then after you. Did anything happen? Or at that point, you were allowed to get onto the plane?
Well, he starts closing distance on me, becoming increasingly more hostile, making statements that you don't cop an attitude with me. Do you understand?
Oh.
So he's speaking to the chief of police as though I'm a convicted felon on the street who's in the process of committing some crime.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, the aviation police sort of got between us and allowed us to be on our way. And we did. We got we'd stopped off at our gate. We got a jug of orange juice. Was just getting some refreshments, and a person in plain clothes walks up and takes our picture and walks off.
Oh,
and I
really?
Thought, that is just so odd. So we get on our plane. I had no carry on. Once we land, we get our baggage. My baggage had been searched.
Huh.
They turned on my laptop computer. Attempted to access my laptop computer.
Wow.
And you know, I thought that was suspicious. And so we go to this thing. I didn't know what I was getting into when I went to this Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association meeting. I knew very little about it. But once I got there, my eyes were opened. I saw a group of men and women, law enforcement, decorated law enforcement officers from all over the country, painstakingly constructing documents to help preserve our American way of life.
Mm-hmm.
Men, grown men, with tears rolling down their face, grieving over what was happening to our country. And I realize I'm onto something here. This is bigger than all of us. This is about our God-given rights. And so I signed on. I got on board wholeheartedly. And I left feeling refreshed. And so once I left, I get to the airport. No problems going through Vegas. I did refuse to go through the nude scanner x-ray machine. They advised me they would have to pat me down, including my genitals and anus. I told them, do not probe me. Do not do anything inappropriate. And so the guy patted me down. It was quite limited. And we were allowed to land here in Albuquerque. The moment I got on the ground and turned on my cell phone, my department-issued cell phone, I had a message from the Sandoval County Sheriff's Department. I made contact with Lieutenant Benelli, who stated that my law enforcement credentials with the Sheriff's Department were being revoked. So I'm cross-commissioned. I have dual authority.
Mm-hmm.
So that dual authority was being revoked by the sheriff, and was really no reason as to why. Now, if I didn't already state this, I'm going to restate it if I did. While in the airport in Albuquerque and having this confrontation with this unethical, unconstitutional TSA agent, he made the statement to me, I know people in your district, and I'm going to make some phone calls. Well, he lived up to his word. He contacted Sheriff Doug Wood of the Sandoval County Sheriff's Department, made his allegations. Now, the key thing to remember is Sandoval County has nothing to do with Bernalillo County, which is where the airport is housed. So this he had no jurisdiction over this issue. It was unethical for a lot of reasons. But Sheriff Wood then made a complaint to my agency, and I was called in on my day off, placed on administrative leave, ordered to collect all handguns, badges, commission cards, uniforms, equipment from my officers, and then to report for a town hall meeting tonight at 6 o'clock.
Wow. You know, what you experienced in this trip, you saw where this is all headed, because the TSA is the tip of the spear on tyranny. You saw arbitrary power being exercised by these people, treating everyone as if they are a criminal suspect without any cause. And then you go to this convention and you see sheriffs who understand where this is going. I've talked to law enforcement against prohibition. It's retired prosecutors and sheriffs and police chiefs who have come out against prohibition because they've seen the corruption. And you have seen the corruption of tyranny and the suspension of due process that we all go through when we travel. And now, of course, they're rolling the TSA out. It is the Travel Security, Transportation Security Association. It's not just airports. They're rolling it out everywhere. And they're rolling it out at the Super Bowl this weekend. They're going to be everywhere in everybody's jurisdiction. And how do we roll this back?
Well, I can tell you that if I'm not removed from my position, they will not be in my jurisdiction. I won't allow it. My citizens are not going to be subjected to unreasonable searches and seizures, unlawful detentions, pretended legislation. It's not going to happen. in my jurisdiction if I'm left in office. And my personal feelings are, until the people recognize that the power lies within the Constitution and within them to stand up and do something about this, when people nullify this pretended legislation, when they refuse to submit, whose pants is TSA going to stick their hands down if everyone says, you're not doing that to me?
Yes.
Find someone else. Are they going to probe each other? Are they going to grope one another?
Well, what they did the first year that it was the first Thanksgiving after they put all the naked body scanners in, we started organizing an opt-out campaign, and that started going through the web. It looked like it was picking up a lot of momentum. And so what they did was they just shut down all of the scanners, all of the searching procedures on the busiest travel day of the year because they didn't want to see people opting out and shutting the system down. So we do have power. And one of the things that people can do is to support the Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Association that Sheriff Mack has. He's got a legal defense fund for you. Is there anything that we can do for you other than when I talked to you initially, you said that you would like prayer, that you were not seeking out the spotlight. You're not trying to be the tip of the spear on this. And obviously it was just your first exposure to the organization. But is there anything that people can do directly to help you?
You know, I would love to see people first and foremost hit their knees and intercede on my behalf. I mean that sincerely.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, write your own elected officials, whether they be elected chiefs or elected sheriffs, elected governors, senators, whatever the case may be, and voice your opinions and let them know you don't want to be subjected to the same thing that these other people are being subjected to. The true victims in this matter is my citizens within my village. My heart goes out to them. We only have a meager 252 citizens. It's a historic village. Bless their heart, 125 of them signed a petition showing their solidarity for our police department and our efforts to clean up our town.
Wow.
And that means the world to me, and no one can ever take that away. They might take away my job, but they won't take away the fact that I have the support of law-abiding citizens who want to be left alone. And, you know,
yes,
at the end of the day, that's all I think anyone wants, is just to be left alone. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. They don't want people getting into their business and telling them how to live.
I can't tell you, Police Chief, how much that means to people. We are tired of being seen as the enemy by our own government. The same sort of thing that you experienced at the airport, we're experiencing that everywhere. We experience it not just at the airport. Unfortunately, we experience it on the streets most often from our various police departments. We see these reports coming in all the time from across the country. I can't tell you how much we appreciate what you've done and the integrity of standing up for the Constitution, doing something that controversial. It shouldn't be controversial, but we hope that people will support the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, and we hope that people will support you in prayer, and you have our prayer tonight.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Police Chief. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So we wanted to talk to Sheriff Mack and find out what this controversial political organization is that trains peace officers and sheriffs to respect the Constitution. So here's Sheriff Mack. Well, Sheriff, lay this out for us, exactly what happened to Police Chief Harger as he's coming to the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association meeting.
This is literally the TSA getting hold of a sheriff, a buddy, going behind his back, a backdoor deal, firing a good, honest, Christian, constitutional chief of police who was the only thing he did wrong during the time he left town to the time he got back was to attend a constitutional convention with the CSPOA. And this is the reason we had this meeting, was one, to establish a resolution to put the federal government on notice that they're not going to do anything like this in our areas.
Mm-hmm.
We now have a resolution. You've got to post this on Infowars.com. We have it. We have eight things that these sheriffs, we have 41 public officials, now 42, and it's counting. We get more every day. But after this conference, the sheriffs and chiefs of police and peace officers and county commissioners and everybody who attended this, there's about 75 people, all agreed that this was the right thing to do, that we were going to put the IRS on notice, we're going to put the federal government on notice, that they're not going to be able to commit crimes in our jurisdictions anymore.
Yes.
And now we get this blowback and this happening to one of our officers. We've been praying and praying and fighting and praying and fighting and praying so that these sheriffs and this kind of chief of police would stand for principles of freedom, stand for their oath of office. We now have this happening, It's starting, and this is a peaceful revolution. It's a peaceful solution, and we've got to have everybody on board, or we're not going to make it. We've
Absolutely.
Got to have your help.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's time for people to take a stand. They want to know what to do, and when good, honest men like this are persecuted because of their quote-unquote
right.
political affiliations for going to an organization.
Right.
When we went to San Antonio for the concealed carry rally down there, Alex Jones yeah. and Anthony Gucciardi pointedly asked the police chief and the guy standing next to him, who was also in the police department, would they confiscate firearms illegally if ordered by the federal government or by someone else to do so, or would they obey the Constitution? They refused to answer. They dodged it. They said, well, that's a hypothetical scenario. We all know that police and the military train in hypothetical scenarios all the time. And
of
as
course.
Anthony pointed out to them, he said, "It's your oath to the Constitution is not a hypothetical. It's an absolute."
That's right.
And so when we don't stand,
exactly
we have to stand behind these people. Yes.
That's exactly what we're doing, and that's exactly what we said at our conference. And we even have in the resolution that these men, these brave men and women, we have Sheriff Elliott from Texas, the only female sheriff that attended, she signed on to this. And the very first one was, we will not allow or tolerate or put up with the federal government making a registration law about guns. Then the next one, number two, was confiscation of weapons. Again, do your listeners really want to support the solution?
Yes.
We have the solution in place, and when our members are harassed by the government or arrested, just like Sheriff Finch was, and when they're fired, like Chief Harger was, we have got to have people available. We've got to have a legal defense ready for these people. That's the other thing we discussed along with this resolution to get our to stop the federal government's criminality. And then the other one was to establish a well-funded legal defense so when these CSPOA officers take a stand that they'll have somebody backing them up and defending them for what they did. And that's what we're doing. We have the solution. I'm asking every one of your listeners.
And I want to remind
you, join us.
And Sheriff Mack, I want to remind people that you have taken this to the mat. You have challenged the federal government's unlawful orders all the way to the Supreme Court, and you won.
That's right, and we'll do it again if we have to. But the thing of it is, we're going to stop suing and we're going to start doing.
Yes.
And if your listeners are interested in the doing part of this and having them also have their rights protected by constitutional chiefs and sheriffs, that's why we're called the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, because we want chiefs on board too. We want patrol officers on board, and we will train people properly to where when you ask them, will you confiscate guns if ordered to do so, they will say absolutely, and the people who have attended our conferences will tell you absolutely not. And we had sheriffs there from Utah and all over the country. Those sheriffs from Utah are ready to do business, and they were, let me tell you, Sheriff Tracy, the president of the Utah Sheriff's Association, at lunchtime, told me and several other people, I came here, I flew all night long to get here from Washington, D.C., where he had a meeting. He took a red-eye flight. He says, I am so glad I made it. The weather was bad, but I made it. I was 85% on board. Now I'm 100% on board the constitutional sheriff movement, and I'm ready to do business. Where do I sign? The wheels are turning for freedom. Let's make it happen.
CSPOA.org. Thank you very much, Sheriff Mack.
Thanks. See you soon, David.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, like Chief Harger, anyone who's flown and many people who have just walked the streets of our cities has experienced the kind of power-tripping, lawless law enforcement officers that we come across on a daily basis. The TSA is the best example of that. And once we get to the point where they start prosecuting honest officers, where they can come against even law enforcement officers vindictively like this, we have really reached the end of the rope. You need to get involved. You need to support him in prayer. You need to support CSPOA.org with your money. And if you want to follow this story and help to support getting the word out, support Prison Planet TV. Become a subscriber. Right now we have a special for 5 months, but it's a way that you can follow this story and others like it. We understand where this is going, and Chief Harger saw it crystal clear. He saw the tyranny as he was flying and what he experienced when he came back, and he also saw what can happen when good men come together and swear to uphold the Constitution. Stand with us and tune in tomorrow at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. We'll have an update.
Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at InfoWars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
More than 60 movies and documentaries all in one place at InfoWars.com/show.